See you this morning. Let me just invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We are having a special service tonight where we're going to talk about our recent work and witness trip to Guatemala, where 17 of us went down there and were able to serve for a week in Guatemala, and tonight we're going to report about that. And so come back tonight. We'd love for you to hear what God was able to do there on that trip. It's interesting, as I was thinking about that trip and thinking about what I'm preaching on this morning, one of the things we experienced down there was these people from, we were with people from Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Honduras, and they really know how to pray. They really know how to pray. I mean, they're amazing prayer warriors, and many times they'd gather around us and they'd pray for us, and I don't know very much Spanish. That's why Fernando had to be right next to me, but I listened for any words I could recognize, and you know what they said? The words that I recognized that they said again and again and again, again and again in the prayer was, "Gracias, Señor," which means, "Thank you, Lord." They said that so many times. I was amazed how many times they said, "Gracias, Señor." They were thankful people, and we are called to be thankful people. We have so much to be thankful for. I heard it already this morning from several people as they were in church, talking to me about how much we have to be thankful for, all that God has done for us. And we're going to look at a scripture today. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 103, a great psalm that talks about some of the things we have to be thankful for. And it's really easy to forget. We are called to remember. We see it throughout the Bible. It's one of the most common commands in the Bible is to be thankful, because it's really easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to take God for granted and not be thankful. Psalm 103, stand as we read God's word this morning. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, and he flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord, thank you so much for this psalm of praise, psalm of thanks. And it's a way to remind us today of how many things we have to be thankful for that you've done for us. So our prayer is, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts through your word today. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I read through this psalm, I found 17 reasons we have to be thankful. So this is kind of an unorthodox outline, but we'll go with it. 17 reasons to be thankful. Every single one of these could be a sermon in himself, but we'll lump them all together and go through them quickly to prompt us to think about many, many of the reasons we have to be thankful. The first one is the blessing of complete forgiveness. The blessing of complete forgiveness. David writes, "The Lord who forgives all your sins." David knew about forgiveness. He had sinned, and he'd been forgiven by God. We all need forgiveness, because the Bible says we've all sinned. We need his forgiveness, and praise the Lord, he gives us his forgiveness. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I am thankful for God's forgiveness. You know, I like that it says he forgives all your sins. Not just some of them. Not just the big ones. Not just the little ones. All your sins. Isn't that amazing? I remember a young man who attended our church. Well, he attended a special services we were having up in northern Idaho where we pastored up there. And it was a special called a Lay Witness Weekend, and we had some services, and someone invited their friend. He was a teenager. And we finished the service. We went into the fellowship hall to have a lunch. And I went into the sanctuary, and he was still there, and he was just weeping, a teenager boy. And I went up to him. I said, what is going on? And he goes, I'll never forget it, tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, do you really mean God will forgive all my sins? Because I have sinned a lot. That was his confession. And I said, yes, he will. He'll forgive all your sins. And right there at that moment, he prayed and received Jesus Christ as his Savior, realizing that God would forgive all of his sins. Praise the Lord for his forgiveness. It says, David says later in this psalm, as far as the east is from the west, so far you removed our transgressions from us. There's a story told in a book called A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World, where he tells a story of a much-loved priest in the Philippines who carried a secret burden for a sin that he'd committed earlier in his lives. He'd repented of that sin, but he didn't seem to have God's forgiveness, a sense of God's forgiveness. In the parish where he was serving, there was a lady that deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions of God where her and Jesus would talk together. The priest was very skeptical of this, and so he said, hey, you know, next time you talk to Jesus in one of your dreams, I want you to ask him what sin I committed when I was in seminary. And she said, okay, I will. So a few days later, he asked her, what did you have a speak to Jesus again? And she said, yes. And did you ask him what I asked you, what sin I committed when I was in seminary? And she said, yes. And what did he say? And the lady said, he told me he forgot. He forgot. The scripture says when God forgives us of our sins, he forgets. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that good news? I need an amen right there. Thank you. You guys are way too quiet this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his forgiveness. Number two, the blessing of perfect healing. He heals all your diseases. Because of the context in which David is writing this psalm, most people believe he's referring mainly to spiritual healing here. Spiritual healing, which is the most important healing. We know that God can heal physically when it is his will. He can heal physically. He can heal mentally, emotionally, all different sorts of ways. But all those kind of healings are temporary till we get to heaven someday. And then there's the perfect healing in the presence of Jesus. We celebrated a life of a special lady in our church yesterday, Karen Schumann, who went to be with Jesus a few weeks ago, and we had her service yesterday and remembered her. She had a ton of physical problems. But you know what? She's perfectly healed today in the presence of Jesus. Perfectly healed. God promises this perfect healing from our spiritual needs and physical needs that he has for us. There's a scripture in Isaiah 53, it says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, speaking of Christ. And by his wounds, we are healed. All the different kinds of healings come because of Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for that. Number three, the blessing of redemption. He redeems your life from the pit, from your pit. Redemption is a word, literally means to buy back. You know, they used it in Hebrew culture to buy back property that was lost in the family. Maybe somebody mortgaged their property and a relative bought it back so it could stay in the family. Redeem it back, to buy it back. David uses the analogy here of being in a pit, and you need someone to buy you out of that pit, if you will. Because of sin, we're in a pit. We need redeemed. We need somebody to drag us out of there. And we're thankful that Christ is our Redeemer. Christ is our Redeemer. He redeems us. He buys us back. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Redemption. The blessing of redemption. Number four in our list is a blessing of unconditional love. Unconditional love. God is an amazing God of love. And if you read through Psalm 103, you can't help but see all the different things that he says here about God's love. In verse 4, he says he crowns you with love. You know, God's love is kind of seen as a covering over us. Verse 8 says he's abounding in love. It's all sufficient. Verse 11 says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. The immeasurable nature of God's love. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The eternal nature of God's love. We need to be thankful for the love of God. God's amazing love. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This amazing, incredible love of God. Number five, we are thankful for the blessing of unlimited compassion. Says here that God is compassionate. Verse 4 says we are crowned with love and compassion. Verse 8 says the Lord is compassionate. Verse 13 says as God has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now compassion is God's love in action. It's not like God just loves us and then leaves us alone. He acts on our behalf. He loves us and he does things that we need for us. He is a compassionate God, and we're thankful for his compassion. In Lamentations, we read these words, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's a great verse to start out with every day, if you think about it. New every morning, his compassions never fail. Number six, the blessing of ultimate satisfaction. Verse 5 says, he satisfies my desires with good things. Now, David is a guy, if you study him in the scripture, he had everything that the world would consider to bring you satisfaction. He had wealth, he had power, fame, position, pleasure. I mean, anything David wanted, he was rich. He was the king of Israel in a time when Israel was just flourishing, amazing. He had everything, yet he understands that true satisfaction comes from God and the good things that he gives. Because those other things really can't ultimately satisfy our heart. We see it all the time. People that have all that the world can offer, but they're not satisfied, they're not happy, they don't have joy, they don't have peace. Because ultimate satisfaction only comes by knowing Christ in a relationship. That's where it comes from. It's found nowhere else. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. Number seven, the blessing of spiritual renewal. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. As we grow older and older, and that is happening, we need this renewal. Like an eagle, it says, you know, the eagle soars on the winds, the warm air currents that come off the earth, and he soars on those so we can soar, trusting in the Holy Spirit as the winds of the Holy Spirit blow across our lives, renewing us, reviving us, enabling us, empowering us to live for Christ. We need this spiritual renewal. Paul says it this way in the scripture. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. We don't like that first part, the wasting away part, but we need this inwardly being renewed day by day part, and God's able to do that for us, and we thank him for that. Number eight, the blessing of true righteousness. Verse 6 says, the Lord works righteousness. Now, David knew both sides of this equation. He knew what it was like to be unrighteous. He knew what it was like to be righteous. David knew that unrighteousness comes from sin. Then you don't have a right relationship with God. But when we're forgiven of our sins, we can have a right relationship with God. And it all comes from God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous. He does it for us. Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven of our sin and be declared righteous in the eyes of God. 2 Corinthians said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Number 9 in our list, the blessing of perfect justice. We see it in the verse that says, the Lord works justice for all the oppressed. We see a lot of injustice in our world, don't we? A lot of things that aren't fair. Sometimes we see evil people getting away with things that we wish they wouldn't get away with. They need to be caught. They need to be justice. But God gives us perfect justice, and he's the only one that can bring perfect justice. And we can be thankful for that. The justice will be done. God will bring justice in his timing, in the right time and place. The scripture says in Isaiah, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Justice to the nations. So we can be thankful for the blessing of divine justice. Number 10, we can be thankful for the blessing of divine revelation. Verse 7 said, he's made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. We can be thankful that God is a God who communicates with us. He communicates with us. He tells us what we need to know. Oh, I lost a scripture there. Oh, there it is. Hebrew 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God speaks to us in so many ways. He speaks to us through his word right here, the Bible. When you read God's word and you're really listening, God is speaking to you. He speaks to us through prayer, speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He speaks through us so many different ways in life, but the main way he speaks through us is through Jesus. Jesus is the message from God to us about his amazing love for us and desire that we would know him. We can be thankful that God is a God who speaks to us. And I guess the question for us is, are we listening? Are we listening? God is speaking. Number 11 is a blessing of divine patience. Divine patience. It says God is slow to anger. Slow to anger. God is a patient God. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for God's patience. Seems like the longer I live, the more things I find out about myself that God needs to work on. Have you found that true in your life? You think I'd figured it out by now, but I guess I haven't. God keeps revealing things that I need to work on, and I'm so thankful that he is patient. God is a God of patience. Praise the Lord. We can be thankful for his patience. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, there's so many things that are happening in our world right now that make you wonder if we're getting closer to that time when Christ will return, the end of times. There's a lot of prophecies being fulfilled, a lot of things happening. And sometimes people ask, you know, well, why is God waiting? This is the reason he's waiting right here. Doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, there'll be a time when it's done, when time's up. But for right now, the world has experienced this wonderful patience of God as he waits so that more and more people could know him. I'm thankful for God's divine patience. We also have the blessing of amazing grace. It says the Lord is gracious. It says he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't we glad for that? Aren't we excited about that? He treats us better than we deserve. His amazing grace. We deserve punishment for our sin, but Christ took the punishment upon himself so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. God's amazing grace. Scripture says it is by grace that you've been saved, not through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Let me share with you a true story of God's amazing grace that illustrates God's amazing grace. The young girl grew up in Traverse City, Michigan. Her parents didn't really appreciate how she dressed, the music she listened to, the friends that she had, and so After a while, this teenage girl decided she'd had enough, and she rebelled and ran away. Got on a bus and went to Detroit to hide from her parents. Didn't have anything to do, really, and so she unfortunately got into the prostitution. Lived for several years in Detroit in the big city, lived the high life. She made a lot of money and thought life was good for a while, till she got sick and the person that she worked for kicked her out and she was living on the street. She was cold, tired, sick, and lonely. And she began thinking about home. She said, I wonder if I could go back home. She called her father. Father didn't answer. Called again, he didn't answer. And so the third time she left a message on the answer machine to her father and said, Dad, Mom, it's me. I'm wondering about maybe coming home. I'm catching a bus up your way and I'll get there about midnight tomorrow. If you're not there, well, I guess I'll just stay on the bus till it hits Canada. As she was riding on that 7-hour bus ride, many thoughts went through her mind. What am I going to say to them when they see me? Will they even be there at the bus to meet me? Do they know that I'm still alive? You know, all these thoughts went through her mind. And when the bus finally rolled into the station, the bus driver said, "You 15 minutes, folks, that's all you have to stop." And she realized 15 minutes to determine what was going to happen with the rest of her life. She looked in the mirror and made sure she looked halfway decent, got ready to walk off the bus. She walked into the terminal not knowing what to expect, and not one of the thousand scenes that had played in her mind prepared for what she saw. There in the concrete walls and plastic chairs, bus terminal in Traverse City, Michigan, stands a group of 40 family members, brothers and sisters and great aunts and uncles and cousins and a grandmother and a great grandmother, all wearing ridiculous-looking party hats and blowing noisemakers. And taped across the entire wall of the terminal is a computer-generated banner that reads, "Welcome Home." That's a picture of God's grace, my friends. Isn't that a picture of God's grace? Welcome home, the prodigal. You're welcome. And God does that for us. He welcomes us with open arms. If we happen to stray away from him, he welcomes us home. All we have to do is come, a picture of God's amazing grace. Number 13 in our blessings is the blessing of life on earth. Verses 15 and 16 talk about the brevity of life, and boy, it goes by fast. You know, one of the things that happens oftentimes at memorial services, and we had it yesterday for Karen's memorial service, is a slideshow of her life. Showed pictures of her from when she was a baby till close to when she died, and you know, it goes by in about 10 minutes. And just reminds you how fast life goes by. Life on this earth goes by quickly. But you know what? At least we have it. God has blessed us with life here on this earth. Time to live on this earth. And the most important thing we do with the time we've been given on this earth is to prepare for eternity, right? Because we're going to live there forever. We need to prepare for eternity, given us time on earth to serve him and honor him and worship him and to be ready for eternity. And we get ready by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, confessing our sins, placing our faith in Jesus Christ. He forgives us of our sins and gives us this amazing gift of eternal life. Like the psalmist said, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We have life now, and we have life forever with the Lord. Verse 14, the blessing of eternal life. Verse 17 says, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him." That speaks of eternity. Everlasting for everlasting is forever, you know. If we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we'll live forever with him. We're blessed with eternal life. And eternal life is more than just living forever. It's a quality of relationship that we have with God, a quality of life that we have that is going to last forever. Eternal life he gives us. And this is the testimony, the scripture says. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Number 15 in our list, the blessing of divine sovereignty. Verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven." His throne in heaven. With everything that's going on in our world, it's just amazing when you see all the chaos. If you really look, study it, there's a lot of chaos going on in our world. amazing troubles going on. It's good to know that God is on his throne. It's good to know that nothing that's happened in this world is going to cause panic in heaven. God has this. He's got it. He is the sovereign God of the world. He has it. He's in charge. Yes, sin has had time to cause a lot of trouble in our earth, and it's still causing trouble. But God is the sovereign God of the world, and his will be done. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the nations of all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. The Lord is still on his throne. We can be thankful for that. Number 16, the blessing of eternal heaven. Verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. This tells us there's a heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's not a wish. It's not a fantasy. It's a real place. A real place that God has prepared for us. Have you ever went somewhere on a vacation and you maybe you rented an apartment or a condominium or something and you checked it out and you thought it was going to be great and you got there and boy, it was a dump. You know, the pictures were manipulated and it wasn't anything like you thought it was going to be. Or maybe you've done the opposite and you've been someplace and you looked at the picture and you got there. This is much better than I imagined it was going to be. It's awesome. That's heaven, my friends. Heaven is much better than you can imagine. Whatever pictures you have in your mind, it's much better than that. It'll be our eternal home, and we will have the blessing of living with the Lord there forever in this amazing place that he's prepared for us. Jesus promised us, said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. That's for us who know Christ. Number 17 in our list, the blessing of absolute assurance. Verse 19 says, his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. There's only one superpower in this world, and that is the Lord God Almighty. He rules over all the nations. He rules over the earth. In the book of Revelation, we see how it's going to end. Read the book of Revelation. You see God wins. His kingdom will be established. His will be done. The devil and evil will be defeated absolutely. We can have this blessed assurance from God that his kingdom rules over all. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. With reverence and awe. Praise the Lord. 17 reasons to be thankful. And I think probably if you look at that psalm more, you can find many more reasons we have to be thankful for all that God has done for us. We can thank him and praise him. You know, as we think about being thankful, the most important thing that we can be thankful about is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, in sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior, dying on the cross for us. You notice these 17 things that we went through? Most of them come right from what Christ did for us on the cross. The forgiveness, his love demonstrated, the redemption, so many things that Christ did for us. So in being thankful, we need to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 that talks about this. It says, I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You notice it says we're doing it in remembrance of Christ. We do it to remember, to be thankful, for what he's done for us. We're going to invite you to partake of communion this morning. If you would like to, In a moment, we'll sing a song of worship. You'll be invited to come forward if you want to partake, and you'll take the bread, which represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll dip it in the juice, which represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll eat it and thank God for what he's done for you in Jesus Christ. If you need to pray during this time, the altar's open for a time of prayer as well. But let's worship our Lord and thank him. The most important reason we have to be thankful is what Christ has done for us. If those that are going to help serve will come, we'll begin our